Holy One, you speak to us in song. You speak to us in the silent calls from within us and from the noisy world without us. Speak to us today. Amen. Most of you know I'm a prairie girl. Born in the midst of the great fields and a distant horizon, raised between the Canadian prairie and the Canadian shield, and like a lot of prairie people, my first reaction to mountains is, yes, well, they're all very well, but they get in the way of the view. The Yellowhead Highway between Edmonton and Jasper crosses the prairie in a dead straight line from Edmonton across the grasslands to the foothills of the mountains, and then it starts to wind and to climb toward Jasper National Park, winds upwards, switches back, curving around the great mountains, higher and higher and higher, and it strikes through the mountain passes on its way through tiny towns and rushing rivers and onward to the coast. When the very first Europeans took that first route, there was, of course, no road. And they traveled in a combination of ways, but mostly they walked. And they walked for months. They walked along the route that, from now what is now Winnipeg, 1,300 kilometers across open prairie, through low scrub oak forests and fields of grass. The journals of those first explorers talk about seeing mountains on the horizon for the first time. One explorer wrote as they stopped for the night, "We can see a ridge of mountains in the distance. We hope to be there by nightfall tomorrow." And every night, for five nights, he wrote the same thing. They could not imagine how big these mountains were, that they would be able to see them from so far away. They had never seen mountains like that before. If you see some of the early paintings from that time, to us, they look wrong. That's because the painters didn't actually believe what they were seeing. So the perspective is wrong. The scale is not quite right, and the colors, they're not quite right either, because they paint not what they see, but a combination of what they see and what they expect to see. Mountains in England are green, and they have few trees, covered in gorse and heather. Even the craggy mountains of Scotland are very different than ours. But the Canadian mountains are high and rugged, and until you get very high, they're covered in trees. Trees that dwarf us, so tall and so dense, you can be lost in minutes. The mountains of Israel and Canada are also vastly different. But there is something that they all have in common. You see very different things on the mountain than from below, and you see them differently, even though sometimes you don't believe what you're seeing. Mountains are places of wilderness, wandering, and often solitude, and they force us to rise, not just in elevation, but perspective. The climb itself is a journey of the whole body and the soul. The air is actually thinner and clearer, certainly clearer than in any part of a city. Even an ancient city in Jesus' time, which was lit by oil fires. You can see both up and down, up and out towards a universe even greater than the mountains, outwards towards a distant horizon, and downwards to a place where our lives and our loves and our troubles are. Long ago, Moses walked into the wilderness and found a bush burning that burned but still lived. And there he encountered God. And years later, Moses wandered in the wilderness with a stubborn people, and he climbed a mountain and encountered God and had a revelation about a law by which his people could live. Elijah was cast out into the wilderness and ran for his life, and in the wilderness he found a cave by a mountain, where finally he heard the voice of God. And in the story today, Jesus takes Peter and John and James to the top of a mountain, and they have a vision of Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. And they hear the voice of Jesus saying, voice of God saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." The revelations of God rarely come when we're comfortable. I have to tell you that, sad as it may seem, and as hard as I might work, they rarely come during sermons. Sometimes during sermon preparation, they come when we are in the wilderness, either the literal wilderness or the wilderness time of our souls, or both. They come when we can see both near and far, from a hilltop lookout or a mountaintop, or a boat on a stormy sea. This church may be a comfortable place, but its purpose isn't to keep you here and comfortable. The purpose of the church is to give you companions for the journey to the mountain, to give you inspiration and permission to hike up mountains, to encourage you in the wilderness, to give you stories of those who have wandered, to remind you that you are not the only ones who are wandered, who may have got lost, those who wonder, those who have seen things in which they really don't believe. Like Peter and James and John, we're often confused, and when revelation comes, we don't even know what to do with it. But just as the disciples followed Jesus up the mountain, they also followed him back down into the world and into life. The revelation may come on the mountain, but it isn't for the mountain. It's for us, for the people of the world. The greatest things many of us have done were when we were uncertain and afraid and didn't know what we were doing or where we were going. The greatest things some of us have done were when we were terrified of making a mistake, when we took one step into the unknown and found adventure or grace. Here in BC, we are a mountain people. We are surrounded by beauty so great we don't even know what to do with it, and we become used to the view. We get out of cars that carried us effortlessly up a mountain, and the view over the harbor and the ocean becomes just another part of a safe life. So I ask you, where is your wilderness? Where is the wild place that takes you out of yourself, the edge of safety place, the place that inspires you to take chances? Where is it? Where is the place where you keep saying, "I should go there"? Or where is the place where you say, "Oh, I don't dare go there"? Where is that? A walk isn't a failure because it turns out differently than you expect. The walk is only a failure if you don't take it. Even when something goes really badly wrong, it makes a great story when you get home. I've been a prairie person. I am becoming a mountain person. And all of us are becoming Christian people. Christian people began in a story of adventure, not safety, of climbing mountains and riding on stormy seas, meeting strangers and being the stranger. We are not people of the pew. We are the people of the view. Forgive me. From the mountaintop. So let's go. We're called to the adventure once again.